of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God.
And the sky above proclaims his handiwork.
Day to day pours out speech.
And night to night reveals knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words,
whose voice is not heard.
Their voice goes out through all the earth,
and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun,
which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber,
and like a strong man runs its course with joy.
Its rising is from the end of the heavens,
and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart.
The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever.
The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold.
Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned.
In keeping them there is great reward.
Who can discern his errors?
Declare me innocent from hidden faults.
Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins.
Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart
be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Oh,
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty, everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities
and stretch forth the hand of your majesty
to heal and defend us.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord,
who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit,
one God,
now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading comes from the 8th chapter of Nehemiah. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. This day is holy. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, and the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We continue our service by confessing our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed found in the back cover of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
The third day
he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven
and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Lord, the place of your abode.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus the Christ. In the year 410 AD, the city of Rome was sacked and it was burned. The Visigothic armies, marching under a disgruntled barbarian named Alaric I, laid siege to the city three times before she finally fell, and the so-called Eternal City was overrun by barbarian tribesmen. After the disaster, people living in the Western Empire were looking for something, someone, anyone, to blame it on, and many eyes quickly fell on, of course, the Christians. After all, Rome had been just fine before Christianity showed up, and that didn't matter. In the year 313, later on in 391, Rome had abandoned their ancient gods. It abandoned the gods of their ancestors in favor of Jesus Christ, with Christianity becoming the official religion of the empire during the reign of Theodosius I. Why wouldn't the gods be upset by this? Perhaps this was their way of punishing Rome, of calling Romans away from this new religion and back to the old ways and to the old gods. Perhaps Rome wasn't to blame. Perhaps it was those pesky Christians. And St. Augustine, living in North Africa after Rome's fall, immediately began to write against this attack on the Christian faith. It was not, he said, Christianity's fault that Rome had fallen. No, he said, Rome's fall was a sign that people that need to remember that our lives are not defined by the areas which we live. It didn't mean that God had abandoned Rome to her enemies, but it was a reminder to us and to the world that everything that we see, everything that we experience, everything that we live through in this world is temporary, it's fleeting, and that our true home is found only in Christ. And as we look around the world that surrounds us today, the world and the country and the culture that we live in and that we work in, it's easy to wonder whether or not we're soon to meet the same fate, maybe not in so dramatic a fashion as Rome, but certainly the same end result. Prior to Rome's fall, the empire had been, well, it had certainly, there had been unrest, to put it mildly, been broiled in rebellions. There was very little sense of unity among the disparate peoples and tribes that made up the empire, and the quest for political power resulted in a level of corruption that continue to boggle historians today. In our own day, news stations bombard us with wars and rumors of wars, with the political drama of the week, or the day, or the hour, whatever the case may be. And while there are plenty of differences between our current time and ancient Rome, there is one key similarity, namely that people don't change, that we are sinful, that everyone goes his own way, that no one loves or cares for their neighbor, and that as a result, unity, true, lasting unity on this earth, in this world, is an illusion. Any unity we think we have with our neighbors will eventually dissipate like the wind, and we'll be left where our sin has led us, bitter, alone, without anyone to help us face the barbarians knocking at the gates. St. Augustine writes about all of this. You can read about it in his book, The City of God. And the point that he makes is the same point that Paul makes in our epistle reading this morning. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. This oneness, Paul says, this unity, that we know we should have, but always fail to achieve, it's only found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in politics. It's not found in a nation or an empire like the Romans believed, all of which eventually fracture and break under the weight of human sin. It isn't even found in the visible church, which has been fractured by schism and heresy from the very beginning. No, the only thing that unites us, the only one who can actually truly connect us to one another is Jesus. We are, Paul says, members of the body, but the body itself belongs to Christ. You know, it's very popular today to talk about diversity, about the things that make each one of us different from one another, as if that were some kind of virtue in and of itself. And it's true, Paul says, we are all different. We've all been entrusted with different gifts and given different talents and life circumstances, but these things by themselves don't make us interesting or useful, let alone do they have any bearing on our vocation as Christians. On the contrary, St. Paul writes that if we focus only on our differences, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. What keeps us joined one to another, what keeps our innate differences from dragging us into isolation and abandonment, is the fact that we've been joined to one another into the body. We've been joined one into another in Christ. As they did for St. Augustine and the Roman Christians, Paul's words should bring a great deal of comfort to us. In a world that seems to be going through a perpetual stage of identity crisis, where we can't even seem to tell the difference between men and women, where citizens seem to constantly be at each other's throats, and it seems like every day we're inundated by endless reasons to hate our neighbor, we who are baptized can rest securely in the knowledge that we don't go along with any of it. As Paul writes, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit. Our baptism didn't just join us to Christ, it joined us one to another and to each and every Christian who has ever lived and will ever live. The body of Christ doesn't just expand across borders. It expands across time itself and even across the lines separating life and death. One doesn't stop being a member of Christ's body when they die. In fact, the exact opposite is true as they enter into the full presence of their Savior. Whether we are the feet or the eyes, whether we are teachers or listeners, whether we live in the east or the west, whether we are alive or dead, we are all one in Jesus Christ. But God has so composed the body, Paul writes, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And so the world can rage all it wants. We belong to Jesus. Those who profit when neighbors hate each other can say what they would like about us because we belong to Jesus. Wars can start and even drag us into them. Floods and earthquakes can destroy our homes. We belong to Jesus. Ourselves, our bodies, minds, and souls, they are part of this body, and so they all belong to Christ. And they always will belong to Him because He's made us members of His body. By taking on our body, by being crucified and buried in this body, and by rising and ascending to the Father in this body. And it is around this body of Jesus that we will all one day gather and sing praises at the marriage feast of the Lamb, finally being able to see and experience what true unity is like as all nations gather together at the throne of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our service with our tithes and our offerings.
Trust in God's.
Continue our service with the installation of our church council members. I ask those being installed, please come forward at this time. Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the Constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the church follows the example of the early Christian church as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Dan Ludeman has been appointed to serve as congregational chair. Kathy Aschemeyer has been appointed to serve as congregational vice chair. Linda Kramer has been appointed to serve as recording secretary. Randy Roars has been appointed to serve as treasurer. Tony Miller has been appointed to serve as assistant treasurer. Mike Grooms has been appointed to serve as chief usher. Diane Meyer Greaser has been appointed to serve as Sunday school superintendent. Jeff Federke has been appointed to serve as head elder. Lynn Schroeder has been appointed to serve as elder. Dane Bostel has been appointed to serve as head trustee. Todd Greaser has been appointed to serve as a trustee. Mark Kramer has been appointed to serve as a trustee. Julie Miller has been appointed to serve as financial secretary. Jenny Bischoff has been appointed to serve as assistant financial secretary. You have been chosen to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility at Zion Lutheran Church. You are to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of this congregation are properly administered and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in his church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you? And do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women whom you have selected to serve as officers of Zion Lutheran Church. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work may be done in our midst? If so, then answer, we do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as officers of Zion Lutheran Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards to the glory of his name and the good of his people. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them, by your Holy Spirit, those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Let your blessing rest on this congregation. Strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we, with all your blessed people, may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Go in the name of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. Maybe see. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God of Zion, we give you thanks that you have arisen to show pity on our fallen world, setting us free from our sin and death. In Christ, the appointed time of favor has come for all people. Cause your name to be declared among all peoples, that your grace may not be rejected in our time, but received with delight in every place. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, your people in the days of Ezra the priest returned to your word with attentive ears. Give us eagerness to hear your word with understanding, that our days may be sanctified and your commandments put into practice among us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Father, you have arranged us as members of one body in Christ Jesus. Free us from jealousy or contempt toward our fellow Christians. Lead us to bestow honor on our weaker brothers, to suffer and rejoice together, and to serve in harmony as those baptized in one spirit. Thank you, Father, for our members who have served on church council this past year, and grant the new church council your wisdom and blessings. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, we give you thanks for the opportunity and resources to help those in need with our food pantry. We ask your blessings upon the distribution this week, especially encourage and uplift our friends and neighbors whom we serve. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bless all families and homes, that one generation may tell to the next the wonderful works of God in Christ. Continue to bless all pregnant mothers and their children. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, give wisdom and courage to all who govern our communities and country, that they may lead well, following your will rather than man's whims. Grant us willingness to support them with our prayers and encouragement. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious and compassionate Lord, as our great physician, mend the bodies and uplift the spirits of all in need, especially Margaret, Charlotte, Loretta, Carolyn, Bill, Jason, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, Denny, Ruby, James, Violet, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Tasha, Mary Ellen, Lynn, Pastor Nierman, Pastor Shui, and Pastor Berlin. And we also ask your comfort for the family of Don Lossick. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray together Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Thy kingdom come.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. Before our closing hymn, I did have a couple of announcements from Pastor Rockroar. He would like to let everybody know that Deaconess Debbie was diagnosed with COVID on Thursday. She is quarantining up to Tuesday. She's recovering well, but still has a way to go. So please include her in your prayers. So far, Pastor Rockroar says he is doing okay, but we are being cautious this morning. So that is why I've been asked to substitute. Pastor Rockroar says thank you to our outgoing church council members of 2021. He gives thanks for their diligence and faithfulness. They've been a blessing to him and to Zion Lutheran. We pray God's blessings on the 2022 church council members. And then finally, Pastor Rockroar says the church council members being installed this morning should keep their copy of the rite of installation after the installation this morning. It is good to have the scripture passages and prayers to reflect upon during this year of their service. That is all the announcements that I have from Pastor Rockroar. So please join us in singing our closing hymn, number 655, Lord, Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word.